The Quraysh mushriks knew of the second bay'ah on the second pledge, of the second pledge. So they were worried about themselves. So therefore they increased and intensified their torture of the Muslims and their harm. So the Prophet ﷺ permitted some of the Muslims to leave Mecca. He gave them the okay. So they left secretly Mecca, leaving behind them nothing. There, Quraysh, the mushriks, decided to kill the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed him of this, of the plot that the Quraysh were planning to kill him. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam told his best companion Abu Bakr as-Siddiq that he intends to migrate to Medina, and they agreed to travel together. And when the night came, the kuffar, the mushriks, the disbelievers from Quraysh circled the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam's home. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam ordered Ali bin Abi Talib to sleep in his bed, and he did. And when he left his house, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took off their sights. They were not able to see him leaving the house until he met Abu Bakr, and they left on their way to a cave in Mount Thawr, staying there 3 days and nights. Afterwards, Quraysh came to know that he left with his companion Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. So they put a prize of 100 camels for anyone who would tell about the whereabouts of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companion. But Allah protected the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. They were in a cave, and the mushriks stood by the cave, and Abu Bakr and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw their feet. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And the Quraysh left. Then afterwards, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and his companion left the cave in the direction of Medina. And there was a great celebration, a great reception to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and his companion. The people of Medina called their city Madinatun Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam, the Prophet's city. Now it's called since then Al-Madinatun Nabawiyya, the Prophet's city, because of their love of him and celebrating his coming. And the people there, the Muslims, were called from then the helpers, Al-Ansar, because they helped the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and his companions. And Allah named the Muslims who came to Medina with the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he named them the migrants, Al-Muhajireen. You want to know of this? Go to chapter 9, verse 40. إِلَّا تَنْصُرُوهُ فَقَدْ نَصَرَهُ اللَّهُ إذ أخرجه الذين كفروا. ثانية اثنين إذ هما في الغار إذ يقول لصاحبه لا تحزن إن الله معنا، فأنزل الله سكينته عليه وأيده بجنود لم تروها وجعل كلمة الذين كفروا السفلى وكلمة الله هي العليا والله عزيز حكيم. If you help him not, it doesn't matter. For Allah did indeed help him when the disbelievers drove him out. The second of two, meaning him and his companion, when they, Muhammad and Abu Bakr, were in the cave, and he said to his companion, "Be not sad or afraid, surely Allah is with us." Then Allah sent down his sakina, his calmness, tranquility and peace upon him, and strengthened him with forces, angels, which you saw not, and made the world of those who disbelieved the lowermost, while it was the word of Allah that became the uppermost. And Allah is Almighty, All-Wise. When the transgression of the mushriks increased and intensified, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to fight them. You see this in the Quran if you go to chapter 2, verse 190. قال الله تعالى وقاتلوا في سبيل الله الذين يقاتلونكم ولا تعتدوا إن الله لا يحب المعتدين. And fight in the way of Allah those who fight you, but transgress not the limits. Truly Allah likes not the transgressors. Afterwards, a trade caravan for the Quraysh people was coming, returning to Mecca from Ash-Sham, and they had a lot of goods carried with them. When the Prophet ﷺ knew of that, he decided to take it because of what the mushriks took from the wealth of the believers in Mecca. And this caravan was led by a man whose name was Abu Sufyan. When Abu Sufyan knew that the Prophet ﷺ was on his way to intercept the caravan and to take it, he sent to his people in Mecca. So the people in Mecca, the mushriks, the disbelievers, came to protect the caravan. Before they arrived, Abu Sufyan was able to flee with his caravan. And when he met the people coming, his people coming, he told them to return to Mecca. And he told them, "The caravan is safe now, you can return." But the leaders of Quraysh and their leader then, Abu Jahl, they decided that they are going to still go and fight the Muslims. So they kept marching in the direction of the city of Medina with an army of about 1,000. There, the Prophet ﷺ had 314 men with him from the companions, from the helpers and the migrants, the immigrants. He consulted, he talked to them as to stand up for Quraysh, and they all agreed. And the Prophet ﷺ began invoking Allah, calling upon Allah for help. And the battle of Badr began on the day of Friday, the 17th of Ramadan, 2 years after the immigration of the Prophet ﷺ. And Allah gave the Muslims a great victory. and the angels came down fighting with them. And they took a lot of booties. 70 of the mushriks were killed then, and 70 were taken captives. And the Muslims, 14 of them, were martyrs who died for the sake of raising the banner of La ilaha illallah. Quraysh decided to revenge from its defeat in the Battle of Badr. So they prepared an army of 3,000 led by Abu Sufyan. And when the news came to the Prophet والسلام, he talked to his companions. And he went out to confront them in an army composed of 1,000 fighters from the Muhajireen, from the immigrants and the helpers, Al-Ansar. And he took to a place by Mount Uhud, and he organized the army, the Muslim army. And he told a group of the Muslims to take a place and not to leave it. Those were equipped with bows and arrows, and they were put by the Prophet والسلام, on a mount which makes them overlook the battleground in order to be a protection for the Muslims on the ground. And he commanded them not to leave their places no matter what occurs. And when the battle began, victory was almost guaranteed for the Muslims. Except when those on this mount, this special force, busied themselves in taking the booties. So they came down from that position seeking these booties. The kuffar realized and they seized the moment. They overtook that place and began shelling the Muslims with the arrows. And they returned back the fight. Many Muslims were killed. And from them, from their martyrs, was Hamza, the son of Abdul Muttalib. The Prophet himself, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was hurt in his face, and some of his teeth were broken. This battle took place on a Sunday, or rather a Saturday, on the 15th of the month of Shawwal, the 11th month of the Islamic calendar, 3 years after the Prophet ﷺ left Mecca to Medina. And we can tell that a single disobedience to the Prophet ﷺ caused this great loss. We told you earlier that there were Jews in Medina, and these Jews did not keep their promise and covenant with the Prophet ﷺ because of their hate to Islam and to Muslims. So they went to the people in Mecca, to the mushriks, and started telling them to continue their fight against the Prophet ﷺ, and they promised them to give them wealth, money and arms. So the Quraysh people began to call upon the other tribes from the Arabs and from the Jews to unite, to form an army to fight the Prophet ﷺ. They succeeded to build up an army of 10,000 fighters led by Abu Sufyan, the direction to Medina to finish the Muslims. This was on the 15th day of the month of Shawwal. The 11th month of the Islamic calendar, 5 years after the migration of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam, he knew of what is being prepared by Quraysh and these tribes, he consulted the companions as to what to be done. They all were in agreement to stay in Medina and to defend Medina. But since the Medina was exposed from the northern side, open, Salman, the Persian, Salman who came all the way from Persia, seeking the truth and accepting Islam in Medina, Salman, the companion of the Prophet ﷺ, said, "Let us build a trench, a big ditch, surrounding the Medina from that side to prevent the mushriks, the kafir army, the disbelievers from Quraysh to defend against them." The Muslims began to dig. An army of about 3,000 of the Muslims were prepared. And when the mushriks came to Medina, they could not bypass the trench, and they were lost as to what to do. 1 month passed, and the Medina was encircled by the enemies. And on one night, a dark night, from the nights of the winter, the cold winter, strong winds blew, which carried with it the tents of the mushriks and dissipated their powers, and they were hit by pebbles and by the sand, terrifying them. So they fled in fear. So this plot failed. And Allah reminds us about this in the Quran. So let us open the Quran 33, verse 9, and listen. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu. Dhkuru ni'matallahi alaykum. إذ جاءتكم جنود فأرسلنا عليهم ريحا وجنودا لم تروها وكان الله بما تعملون بصيرا. Oh, you believe, remember Allah's favor to you when there came against you hosts, and we sent against them a wind and forces that you saw not. And this is the troop of angels during the battle of Al-Ahzab. This is called the battle of Al-Ahzab, the confederates. And Allah is ever all seer of what you do. 1 year after this, the Prophet ﷺ wanted to go and visit the Kaaba, make of what is called Umrah. So he went with the Muslims in the direction of Mecca. And when he reached a place called Al-Hudaybiyah, he was intercepted by the Quraysh, and they prevented him from entering Mecca. And there occurred between them negotiations, talks, ended up in concluding a peace treaty between the Muslims and the Quraysh. This treaty was called Sulh al-Hudaybiyah, the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, and from the conditions that, number one, war to stop between the two for 10 years. Second, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam delay, postpone his Umrah to the next year. Third, the Arabian tribes be given the choice either to join the Muslims or join the Quraysh alliances. The Prophet ﷺ benefited a great deal from this treaty, and he began to spread Islam outside Medina, and people began to enter Islam. But did the Quraysh people keep their promise in the treaties, their covenant? No, they broke it. When they attacked one of the tribes that had allegiance to the Muslims, so the Prophet ﷺ decided to open Mecca, and he prepared an army, 10,000 fighters. This was on the 20th of Ramadan, 8 years after Hijrah. And when the Muslim army reached Mecca, and Quraysh saw that, their morals were lost, and they could not resist. The Prophet ﷺ entered Mecca without a fight, and he made tawaf, circulated the Kaaba, worshipping Allah, and destroyed all the idols around the Kaaba while reciting the following verse from the Quran. Go to Surah Al-Isra 17:81, smacking the idols and reciting, وَقُلْ جَاءَ الْحَقُّ وَزَهَقَ الْبَاطِلُ إِنَّ الْبَاطِلَ كَانَ زَهُقًا. Truth, meaning Tawheed, has come, and Batil, falsehood, shirk, disbelief, has vanished. Surely Batil is ever bound to vanish. The Prophet ﷺ pardoned the people in Mecca, and they entered Islam, and they were convinced that Islam is the true religion, and they became Muslims, defending Islam and calling for it. We know that the Prophet ﷺ also made da'wah outside Medina, and many of the tribes entered Islam. And the victory in Mecca boosted the Muslims, because that led to more and more tribes in the Arabian Peninsula to enter and accept Islam. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke about this in Surah An-Nasr. In Surah An-Nasr, verse 1-2, إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا. Go to the Quran, 2 and 10, verses 1-2, and read, when comes the help of Allah against your enemies and the conquest of Mecca, and you see the people enter Allah's religion, Islam, in crowds. In the 10th year after Hijrah, the Prophet ﷺ called the people to come and perform Hajj with him, perform the pilgrimage, and to teach them how to do it. About 100,000 responded. They went there for Hajj, pilgrimage in Mecca. On the 25th of the month of Dhul Qa'dah. And when they reached the Kaaba, they circulated the Kaaba. Then they went to Mina on the 8th day of the Dhul Hijjah, the 12th month of the Islamic calendar. Then on the 9th day they went to Arafat. There the Prophet ﷺ stood and he gave his magnificent sermon, in which he made clear the teachings of Islam and how the people should make Hajj. And he recited to them this great verse in the Quran, which if you go to chapter 5, verse 3, اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا. When they went on the 25th of the month of Al-Qa'dah, they reached Kaaba. They made the circulation. Then they went to Mina on the 8th of the 12th month. And then to Arafat on the 9th. And there where the Prophet ﷺ recited, this day I have perfected your religion for you. He recited these words of Allah. This day I have perfected your religion for you, completed my favor upon you, and have chosen for you Islam as your religion. Remember this verse. Have chosen Islam for you as your religion. So there can be no religion accepted to Allah except Islam. So the Prophet ﷺ completed this pilgrimage, which is known as the farewell pilgrimage. It's called Hajjatul Wada', the farewell pilgrimage, because the Prophet ﷺ taught them what is the deen, and this was the last one, the last pilgrimage. This was on the 10th year. Now, the next year, the 11th year after Hijrah, 2 months after he returned from this farewell pilgrimage to Medina, the Prophet ﷺ was touched by a disease. He became ill from a fever, and then he became very ill, and then he went back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the 12th of Rabi' al-Awwal, the year 11th after Hijrah, and he was 63 years of age, and he was buried in Medina in the apartment of his wife Aisha. May Allah be pleased with her and her father. The Muslims were sad for the death of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Very sad. And they wept. However, the great companion, Abu Bakr, stood up and told them, من كان يعبد محمدا فإن محمدا قد مات. Whoever worship Muhammad, then Muhammad is dead. وَمَنْ كَانَ يَعْبُدُ اللَّهِ. And whoever worshipped Allah, verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ever living, does not die. And then he recited to them the following verse. So go please to chapter 3, verse 144. وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ الرُّسُلُ أَفَإِنْ مَاتَ أَوْ قُتِلَ انْقَلَبْتُمْ عَلَىٰ أَعْقَابِكُمْ وَمَنْ يَنْقَلِبْ عَلَىٰ عَقِبَيْهِ فَلَنْ يَضُرَّ اللَّهَ شَيْئًا وَسَيَجْزِي اللَّهُ الشَّاكِرِينَ. Muhammad ﷺ is no more than a messenger, and indeed many messengers have passed away before him. If he dies or is killed, will you then turn back on your heels as disbelievers? And he who turns back on his heels, not the least harm will he do to Allah. And Allah will give reward to those who are grateful. Because Muslims, we don't worship the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. We believe in him as a true messenger and a prophet. But the true Muslim worships only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام was a middleman in size, not tall nor short. He had a good body build up, strong one. During his lifetime, he was trustworthy in everything he conducted. He was wise. He was perseverant. He didn't curse nor hit anyone. Even those who hurted him. And he was a great leader and an honorable fighter. This is known in all of his battles with the mushriks. He had a great character. He was kind. He did not have false pride and arrogance. Nor he was harsh. He was forgiving. And he had a great noble character. Allah described him as وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. Verily you are of a great noble character. He was so good to his family and friends and people around him and to children. So in his story, he called people to the worship of Allah alone, like all of his brothers from the prophets and messengers before him. And that he eliminated shirk and gathered the hearts on the belief in Allah and corrected the characters of people, leaving the evils they had. After him, the great companions took the same task and they called for Islam outside Arabia, because Islam is for all mankind, for the Chinese, the East, the West, the Americans, the Arabs, the non-Arabs, the North, the South, entire mankind. So our Prophet Muhammad is Muhammad bin Abdullah bin Abdul Muttalib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, born in Mecca and died in Medina. Allah sent him to all mankind to call them to Islam. And he is the final and last messenger. No prophet or messenger will come after the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam to call people for a new religion. Allah sent to him the Quran. All the Quran is about Tawheed, calling people to worship none but Allah and to leave anything worship besides Allah. We don't worship the prophets. We don't worship good people. We don't worship the dead or the living, the present or absent. We must love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and obey him. And it is forbidden to disobey the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Whoever obeys the Messenger enters paradise, and whoever rejects him or opposes him enters the fire of hell. What is this Islam which he called for? Islam means Tawheed of Allah, obeying him and keeping away from sin. The basis of Islam is that people bear witness La ilaha illallah, that there is no true God who deserves to be worshipped except Allah, and that Muhammad Rasulullah is the messenger of Allah. No one can understand Islam except through the way of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and that's why Allah sent him. Any other religion other than Islam is falsehood, not accepted by Allah. Christianity, the Judaism, is not accepted to Allah. Any religion other than Islam is not accepted to Allah. Only Islam is accepted to Allah. This concludes this journey with our Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and his message, and concludes level 1 from our classes on Tawheed. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept this from me and to make it a benefit for me and all of you. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.